chances of a green is green. Keep it tripping through my ever dream. Rainbow colors make the scene. Not too far now to the screen. I'm tripping alone. I'm tripping alone, yeah, yeah. I'm never coming on home. Shooting stars of red shoes settle behind my every view. Floating free among the fleecy clouds. It's hard to find burial shrouds. I'm tripping alone. Yeah, never coming on home. I'm tripping alone. Yeah, never coming on home. Of a green is green. Keep a tripping through my every dream. Rainbow colors make the scene. Not too far now to the screen. I'm tripping alone. Yeah, never coming home. I'm tripping alone. Never coming home, because I'm tripping alone. Wall out, I said I'm tripping alone.
X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
Commander Q.
Spirit and all radio, all radio,
I'm
Radio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
Here's a song called Keep On, Just Keep On, Keep On Chewing. Keep on chewing. Keep on chewing.
To which he had always referred his tortures, endured or inflicted in a bargain basis. is squalid solitude with the living dams or the dying lolly. With Joe Albertine in the middle distance, and in the remote background, the great world of human personal forces are proliferating around a collective paranoia's unorganized consciousness. And all, everywhere there will be the yelling for quietly or authoritatively. And in the train of the ruling suggestions, there is always and everywhere the tribes of baboons and participants, professional minds, purveyors of entertainment and elements. Conditioned from the cradle, unceasingly distracted, mesmerized systematically, their uniform victim would go on obediently marching and countermarching. Go on, always and everywhere, killing and dying on the perfect facility of trained people. Despite the entirely justified refusal to take yes for an answer, the fact remained and would remain all, remain clear. The fact that there was this capacity even in the paranoid, for intelligence, even in the devil worship of her love, the fact that the ground of all being could be totally manifest in a five-inch, a human person, the fact that there was a light, and that this light was also compassion. There was the sound of a single shot, then a burst of shots from an automatic gun. Cecilia covered her face with her hands. She was trembling and unconfused. He put an arm round her shoulders and held her close. The work of 100 years destroyed in a single night. And yet the fact remained. The fact of the ending of sorrow, as well as the fact of sorrow. The starters screeched. Engine after engine roared into action. The headlamps were turned on, and after a minute of noisy maneuvering, the cars started to move slowly back along the road by which they had come. The loudspeakers brayed out the opening bars of a march, and at the same time lascivious hymn tunes, which we'll recognize as the national anthem of Rendang. Then the whirl itself is switched off, and here once again is Milton.
"This is your Raja speaking,"
the excited voice proclaimed. After which, the cup. There was a repetition of the speech about progress, values, oil, true spirituality. Abruptly, as before, the procession disappeared from sight and hearing. A minute later, it was in view again, with its wobbly counter-tenor bellowing the praises of the newly united kingdom's first prime minister. The procession crawled on, and now, from the right this time, the headlamps of the first armored car lit up the serenely smiling face of enlightenment. For an instant only, and then the beam moved on. And here was the Tathagata for the second attempt. The third, the fourth, the fifth, the last that the cars passed by. Disregarded in darkness, the fact of enlightenment remained. The roaring of the engines diminished. The squeaking rhetoric lapsed into an inarticulate murmur. And as the intruding voices died away, out came the frog. Out came the uninterruptible incense. Out came the man.
Karuna, Karuna, and a semitone lower. Attention.
Thursday, September 28th, 2000, 9:41 p.m. Descending the steps of the Malden T Center T station on the platform to the main floor, Malden, Mass. Despite some glitches lately, some fuck-ups, overall things have been going not bad lately. On a scale of 1 to 10, fluctuating between 6 and higher. I suppose it depends on how far I want to go back. In considering that when this month began, I was at Burning Man, and along the way I stopped at Three Fish shows, and there was a Jellicle Guild meeting, and I'm going to end the month in New York City. Hooking up with my friend Larla, who I haven't seen in, at that point it'll have been just about 9 months. It has been quite an eventful month. I always look up building to other things. Includes with me being in New York City this Saturday, day after tomorrow, then so much the better. There's so much to say that I'm almost stumped. There's so much in the works. I keep thinking that one of the big things that's going to happen is I'm going to post a political web link on my website. The Green Party. Damn it. Right, that's better. Loose connection. Anyway, I'm going to speak louder and see how that works. So let me try to describe today as best I can. I got out the door early. Teaser Cooperative. I was able to score a little bit of food in Harvard Square. Work was long and busy, but I got through it. The main thing is getting there. I mean, that's one of the hardest things in a working day right now, is getting there. Getting up, really. Getting out the door. The time I get out the door means a lot. Today was 6:51. The day before, it was 7:41. I've long learned, and it continues to be a truth, that the tea sucks, and anything that can be done to not depend on us have to come through has to be done. That's just the way it is. Anyway, I talked to Laura all day. We talked for a long time about Burning Man. I talked to her about moving west. I mean, we had a long, good conversation. It was excellent. It was one of the best conversations we've ever had, and certainly one of the better ones we've had in a long time. Toward the end, it sunk into a morass. The morass of why I can't call her. The morass of... anything that could exist between us outside of cyberspace. In a way, I held my ground all along, and even today I did. I'm not perfect when it comes to girls. Not even close. But I don't have to be. Because... they have to do some of the work. Built into my friendship with Laura is an emotional element that's volatile. Getting better in a way. I can't deny that she's fond of me. I can't deny that it's real. That was the sound of a tape player going down. And she can't deny that I want to be friends outside of the cyber world. And I think that there is the knot in things. I didn't want to talk to her today. I didn't want to go to AIM. I didn't want to do any of that. But I did. Sooner or later, she's going to have to meet me in the real world. That's just the way it is. So it's a relation. It's real. It is no fixed destiny. But it's insistent on its existence. It's insistent. We've grown used to it and like it to a certain degree. But there are areas of discomfort, and these have to be worked out, or will work themselves out, or worse, won't work themselves out sooner or later. Well, that was the day. We talked from about 9 o'clock until 3:30. Pretty straight. Very few interruptions. It got intense. It got interesting. My friend Joanna at Lansing says I like the drama. Maybe I do. I think she's right. In any event, I don't bother arguing with her. Because I can't really defend that I don't, since I complain about it. I call it all-day winch chat. And that's what it is. Whether I like it or not. Ooh, I'm getting to Star Trek close again. Tonight, I went to Central Square. I got a ticket for the Sector 9 show tomorrow night at the Middle East. $8. $8 it cost. I really don't think that the Middle East knows what it has in Sector 9. I really don't think they know. But $8 is $8. It's better than twice that, which is, I think, what I paid to see them the last time. And they were an opening act for someone else. Well, now they're the headliner. Only problem with that is that I don't know how much of the show I'm going to get to see. Frankly, the last train to Malden leaves Downtown Crossing at 12:50. I have to be to the T station by 12:30, or earlier, really. So I'm just not sure. It's been 5 months since they played. I know the date exactly because it was the last time I was in contact with Rick. Sent him a postcard. Saying goodbye. I've been in touch twice since. Once I sent him a cynical. One time I was with Joe when Joe called him from a bar. That was only about a week ago. I'm going to have to walk fast or else meet the opening tease again, which I probably will. So anyway, my website is almost 2.5 years old. Pretty cool. Need more material. Hello, spirits. Tonight, after getting Sector 9 tape, ticket, I went to McDonald's. I read the Weekly Dig, local, I don't know what you call it. It's kind of an underground paper, though. It's widely distributed. It's free. It certainly has underground and radical politics. It's pro-marijuana, pro-third party, pro-rave, hip-hop, whatever. And then I went to the 1369 Coffee House. I'm stopping here in the middle of the Bell Rock Cemetery. Star Trek can wait a moment. Go on without me, rather. And I wrote America's Story, Things Change, added to it. It's good night. I like that place. I'm going to use it more often. Valid Coffee House. I need them. Because they keep closing them on me. Then stuck into the Seven Stars bookstore, and I looked at their psychedelic collection of psychedelic books. Great stuff. And I looked at these books that claim to understand and tie together all the conspiracies of the 20th century to a long line family conspiracy theories abound. Then I read the Phoenix on the way home, especially the politics. I've been reading the Phoenix on a weekly basis, or nearly weekly basis, for months now, following their coverage of the presidential election, trusting them more than anybody else, though not trusting them completely, of course. And finally home, or what is home right now, which is good enough. Spirits, I'm going to be Sector 9 tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. I hope to be at Sector 9 Saturday night. That'll happen. Beautiful night. Cool. Stars. Trees. It's lovely. Love you, students. I love you. So I managed to break 8 pages again. Dragging my average up day by day, page by page, toward my goal, which is 211 pages, which will be, it'll break last month's 210, and it'll be my second best performance of the year. Months and months ago, I hit 248 and a half. March, maybe. I've always looked on 7 pages a day as being the minimum I need to achieve for a satisfactory day, the line. And I've been achieving it lately, which is good. I'm not doing enough, but I'm really fucking trying. I mean, I'm investing more and more, because I have nothing to lose, and some things to gain. Maybe everything to gain, I don't know. Algernon knows I love the baby trees. I was hoping to talk with Joe briefly. I don't know if he's going to make it to the November 4th Jellicoe Guild meeting, but I think it's possible. He's writing the poetry, which is good. He's finally left north of Jersey behind as a period in his life. New work. It's good. Ten 02. Missed the teaser. Oh well. It's been a good day. Gotta be in bed by 11:15. Gotta program my mind to get me up at least by 6:30. One more day. I got my ticket for my show. I'm really excited. That's it for now. At my steps. Good night. Hopeful.
Wouldn't you like to live on an enchanted island? Or would you like to stay with me and eat some smog? You'd better calm down off that cloud you're riding on. And walk with me through the muck and the dark and the fog. It's
it's obvious. Wouldn't you like to live on an enchanted island? Or can you shake your childish dreams and fantasies? I would like to play around with you in your world, but I'm too busy searching for reality. Enchanted island, what does this mean? Enchanted island, you live a dream. And wouldn't you like to live on an enchanted island? With that damn thing, desolation, baby, I'm gonna drag you down from the clouds into the grime, and I hope you got the strength to carry on. Enchanted island, what does this mean? Enchanted island, you live a dream. It's a dream. Wouldn't you like to live on an enchanted island? We're death and dirt and desolation. Baby, I'm gonna drag you down from the clouds into the grime. And I hope you got the strength to carry on. To carry on.
X with Commander Q.
36 with Commander Q.
Commander Q.
And spirit and all revenue, all revenue, shows, playlists, archives, and more.
Thank you. Boston. We're playing the Wet Rams in New York City tomorrow night, if you all want to come down. Also with Sector 9. Coming up, we got Uncle Sammy and Sector 9. You all put on your seatbelts. Thank you.
As a child, you wandered away in the woods with lizards and insects in play. And you spoke to the lightning and you whistled a tune. With spiders and frogs, you played for the wheel of the plough. Its messenger rings in your ear, and the chart of the cosmic moon is done. The rising of Scorpio is near. In a house by the ocean, you live all alone on a cliff high above the sea. And there is no moon, no one comes there but me. For the wheel of the planets has called your name. Its messenger rings in your ear, and the chart of the cosmic moon.
Commander Q.
36 X e fica Commander Q.
Commander Q.
Commander Q. Commander Q. Commander Q. Commander Q.
Commander Q. Commander Q.
Commander Q.
Thank you.
visit us on the web at spirittransradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
We're told, and so in this, that we with outside service. And then coming in with the community and the community. And we'll talk more about how this got done. But if you just want to think about engineering yourself, you can say, you can put it in the
Unfolded and then it's so hard to unfold it one other, but all the information is folded whether they like water or don't like water, whether they're charged or bulky or, so mostly you can hold up based on the desire to hide the water or desire to keep the water, because all of this is happening inside the cell. Right, so it's also about 70 years of time. I think there's still a lot to learn. For me, the scientist, I can't say any better, right? like the building doesn't work. I'm gonna work on that, right? And that's gonna be a big learning cycle, but I think for reliability, stuff like this, I'm going to go to the next one.
Bye. Okay, so then it might be,
see what I see, hear what I hear, walk through the open door.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 X Wiff Commander Q.
Commander Q.
Schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
This is Aldous Huxley, a man haunted by a vision of hell on earth. A searing social critic, Mr. Huxley, 27 years ago, wrote Brave New World, a novel that predicted that someday the entire world would live under a frightful dictatorship. Today, Mr. Huxley says that his fictional world of horror is probably just around the corner for all of us. We'll find out why in a moment.
The Mike Wallace Interview, presented by the American Broadcasting Company in association with the Fund for the Republic, brings you a special television series discussing the problems of survival and freedom in America.
Good evening, I'm Mike Wallace. Tonight's guest, Aldous Huxley, is a man of letters, as disturbing as he is distinguished. Born in England, now a resident of California, Mr. Huxley has written some of the most electric novels and social criticism of this century. He's just finished a series of essays called Enemies of Freedom, in which he outlines and defines some of the threats to our freedom in the United States. And Mr. Huxley, right off the bat, let me ask you this, as you see it, who and what are the enemies of freedom here in the United States?
Well, I don't think you can say who in the United States. I don't think there are any sinister persons deliberately trying to rob people of their freedom. But I do think, first of all, that there are a number of impersonal forces which are pushing in the direction of less and less freedom. And I also think that there are a number of technological devices which anybody who wishes to use can use to accelerate this process of going away from freedom, of imposing control.
Well, what are these forces and these devices, Mr. Hudson?
I should say that there are two main impersonal forces. The first of them is not exceedingly important in the United States at the present time, though very important in other countries. This is the force which in general terms can be called overpopulation, the mounting pressure of population pressing upon existing resources. This, of course, is an extraordinary thing. Something is happening which has never happened in the world's history before. I mean, let's just take a simple fact that between the time of the birth of Christ and the landing of the Mayflower, the population of the Earth doubled. It rose from 250 million to probably 500 million. Today, the population of the Earth is rising at such a rate that it will double in half a century.
Well, why should overpopulation work to diminish our freedoms?
Well, in a number of ways. I mean, the experts in the field, like Harrison Brown, for example, pointed out that in the underdeveloped countries, actually the standard of living is at present falling, that people have less to eat and less goods per capita than they had 50 years ago. And as the position of these countries, the economic position, becomes more and more precarious, obviously the central government has to take over more and more responsibility for keeping the ship of state on an even keel. And then, of course, you're likely to get social unrest under such conditions, with again an intervention of the central government. So that I think one sees here a pattern which seems to be pushing very strongly towards a totalitarian regime. And unfortunately, as in all these underdeveloped countries, the only highly organized political party is the Communist Party, it looks rather as though they will be the heirs to this unfortunate process, that they will step into the power position of power.
Well, then, ironically enough, one of the greatest forces against communism in the world, the Catholic Church, according to your thesis, would seem to be pushing us directly into the hands of the communists because they are against birth control.
Well, I think this strange paradox probably is true. There is an extraordinary situation, actually. I mean, one has to look at it, of course, from a biological point of view. The whole essence of biological life on Earth is a question of balance, and what we have done is to practice death control in a most intensive manner without balancing this with birth control at the other end. Consequently, the birth rates remain as high as they were, and death rates have fallen substantially.
All right, then. So much for the time being, anyway, for overpopulation. Another force that is diminishing our freedoms.
Well, another force which I think is very strongly operative in this country is the force of what may be called over-organization. As technology becomes more and more complicated, it becomes necessary to have more and more elaborate organizations, more hierarchical organizations. And incidentally, the advance of technology has been accompanied by an advance in the science of organization. It's now possible to make organizations on a larger scale than was ever possible before. And so that you have more and more people living their lives out as subordinates in these hierarchical systems controlled by bureaucracies, either the bureaucracies of big business or the bureaucracies of big government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the devices that you were talking about, are there specific devices or methods of communication which diminish our freedoms in addition to overpopulation and over-organization?
Well, there are certainly devices which can be used in this way. I mean, let us take, after all, a piece of very recent and very painful history is the propaganda used by Hitler, which was incredibly effective. I mean, what were Hitler's methods? Hitler used terror on the one kind, brute force on the one hand, but he also used a very efficient form of propaganda, which he was using every modern device at that time. He didn't have TV, but he had the the radio, which he used to the fullest extent, mm-hmm. and was able to impose his will on an immense mass of people. I mean, the Germans were a highly educated people.
Well, we're aware of all this, but how do you equate Hitler's use of propaganda with the way that propaganda, if you will, is used, let us say, here in the United States? Are you suggesting that there is a parallel?
Needless to say, it's not being used in this way now. But the point is, it seems to me, that there are methods at present available, methods superior in some respects to Hitler's methods, which could be used in a bad situation. I mean, what I feel very strongly is that we mustn't be caught by surprise by our own advancing technology. This has happened again and again in history. Technology has advanced, and this changes social conditions, and suddenly people have found themselves in a situation which they didn't foresee and doing all sorts of things they didn't really want to do.
Well, now, what do you mean? Do you mean that we develop our television, but we don't know how to use it correctly? Is that the point that you're making?
Well, at present, the television, I think, is being used quite harmlessly. It's being used, I think, I would feel it's being used too much to distract everybody all the time. But, I mean, imagine, which must be the situation in all communist countries, where the television, where it exists, is always saying the same thing the whole time, is always driving along. It's not creating a wide front of distraction. It's creating a one-pointed drumming in of a single idea all the time. It's obviously an immensely powerful instrument.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the potential misuse of the instrument.
Exactly. We have, after all technology is in itself morally neutral. These are just powers which can either be used well or ill. It's the same thing with atomic energy. We can either use it to blow ourselves up, or we can use it as a substitute for the coal and the oil which are running out.
You've even written about the use of drugs in this light.
Well, now, this is a very interesting subject. I mean, in this book that you mentioned, this book of mine, Brave New World, I postulated a substance called Soma, which was a very versatile drug. It would make people feel happy in small doses. It would make them see visions in medium doses, and it would send them to sleep in large doses. Well, I don't think such a drug exists now, nor do I think it will ever exist, but we do have drugs which will do some of these things, and I think it's quite on the cards that we may have drugs which will profoundly change our mental states without doing us any harm. I mean, this is the pharmacological revolution which has taken place, that we have now powerful mind-changing drugs which, physiologically speaking, are almost costless. I mean, they are not like opium or like cocaine, which do change the state of mind, but leave terrible results physiologically and morally.